Good morning, KIS, blah, 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 blah. A little rummy. No updates on the situation with the program delivery, so we're going to continue kind of as it is into the next little bit. Love this. Somebody hacks a distribution site, and nobody has any backup systems.
So we're not on right now.
No, we are. It's the national feeds. We're all mucked up.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, I know. You're here, Steve. That's Mr. Madrone weighing in yet again with insightfulness.
Are we on?
Yeah. Does this thing work, man?
Is this for real?
Yeah. Are you ready for...
Tell me before I say something that I wish I hadn't.
Oh, boy, that was such an opportunity that was missed. Dang.
That was.
Oh, well. You ready for Why Do We Say It?
Sure.
All right. Why do we say someone is fit as a fiddle?
Well, if the fiddle isn't very fit, it's not going to make very good music, I'll tell you that.
All right. In one form or another, the stringed fiddle was popular in England nearly 1,000 years ago. Sizes and shapes varied, as did the number and length of the strings. All early fiddles were handmade, and most were used in rural settings. Listeners as well as players knew when the tension of the strings was not right, or when an instrument was warped. Only an undamaged one that was properly adjusted was in top shape, or fit to use with an audience. Hundreds of years later, a person in vigorous good health is still said to be...
fit as a fiddle.
Undamaged and well-tuned.
Nice. I like it. Well, better to be fit as a fiddle than fit to be tied, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you that has a barnyard connotation, too.
I'm sure.
Or sometime around...
Okay, now careful now.
Branding is what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy. You guys are starting to get... Now, the mid-year budget revise should be coming through.
It'll start up pretty soon. Yeah.
Halfway shortly. What kind of sense do you have for the current year as we keep hearing...
I think we're okay in the current year, but what we're all hearing is a downturn in the economy over the coming year or more. And I equate that to the fact that everybody spent their stimulus and extra unemployment money, a year or two ago, which is really what propped us up to COVID. Nobody really could have predicted that because we didn't know if the feds were going to open up the wallet and the money tree or what.
Open it up. They ripped it open.
Yeah, of course, we're going to have to all pay for that sooner or later, right? And the debt and all that. But, yeah, it just seems like that's on a downturn. I even hear property values have kind of fallen backwards a bit from where they were at maybe a year ago.
10 to 15% is what I've seen.
So that's interesting. And
which I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, it's, yeah. And, inflation's eaten up a lot. I mean, people are still spending the same amount of money. So you would think maybe sales tax will be all right, but apparently not.
Well, it depends on what they're buying. Is it tax-free or not? Right. The things that I've heard... with some national, local is a little different, obviously. Cars, houses.
Yeah, people aren't buying them.
Those are things that, or they're buying down.
Right.
Instead of buying what they were before.
Right.
Because of the cost of money.
That's right.
Which I guess is kind of what the Fed is trying to accomplish.
Right.
The thing that I think is a big head scratcher.
If you're paying rent that's gone up or PG&E that's gone up, where that doesn't increase sales tax. Right, so that's...
No, you guys haven't figured out how to do that one yet.
Yeah, we're trying to do a measure Q or something.
It's interesting. So where the county is today with the current budget, things are kind of all right with the downturn that started somewhere around October.
Yeah.
How much of an impact is that for the planning purposes that you've got before the reality hits?
Yeah, for strategic planning, you mean, at a board level? Well, we are going to finally, after a couple of years, get back together here in March and start some very serious strategic planning efforts to, update where we are, because we haven't met for a couple of years on that with COVID. And as part of that, we're going to be meeting on our facilities master plan and really taking a fresh look at that, because we own a bunch of different blocks around Eureka. And there's a lot of money out there to build new facilities, as you might have seen 2 weeks ago when we approved the triage center with Mad River out there in Arcata.
Yeah, that's cool.
Crisis stabilization unit, millions of dollars. So there's a lot of money flowing for what's called shovel-ready stuff, and a lot of that is site control. So the fact that we own whole blocks like the one across from the courthouse, the one up at Wood Street, where planning and building is, and we could start consolidating and building, some new facilities.
So as you look at that stuff, though, Steve, with prevailing wage,
cost a fortune,
with the cost of resources today, I mean, is and with let's call it a economy, is this the time to do it, or is this the time to plan it and then wait till things start? The cash flow is there to make start making things happen.
It's long overdue. I mean, we're paying out a fortune in lease monies all the time that don't go to building public assets, right? So when we own all these properties and all they're being used for is parking, you know, that's a pretty inefficient use of that property when you can have parking underneath and go multi-storied, especially downtown Eureka. It's a great place to go up four or five stories, and it's zoned for
There's no parking problems in downtown Eureka, right? Isn't that kind of the mantra these
days? Just shove them out on the streets,
right? Well, one of the things that we heard this time last year was with the challenges that the auditor controller had is that Humboldt County's bond rating went through the floor. Shouldn't that kind of be repaired before there's any attempt to go out and do that? Because it would be a double whammy.
Through the floor. It was threatened to go through the floor, right? These things take, as you know, in business. It's not like you have these problems and suddenly everything goes down. It actually takes a year or two for the analysis and the evaluations to come in and kick in and go, oh, wow, you got some issues here. Then it goes down. And I think we were looking at that precipice, but I don't think we really went off it completely. And now we have turned the corner, and the books are being caught up. And
do you know what the rating, what is current?
No, I don't.
I would think that might be, not to tell you what to do with your life.
Well, it's an important aspect.
A stop on your way into the office in the next little bit is to find out what are we looking at.
If that's, in a world of hurt, then it's foolish to spend a lot of time trying to do big capital improvement projects, frankly.
Still plan for it, though.
That's right. Plan for it so that you're ready with the shovel, so to speak, to be able to take advantage of our tax dollars that we put out there that we can bring back home and do good things here in Humboldt. And, really, Eureka and Humboldt County, we're a regional center, if you think about it, for Trinity, Del Norte, Humboldt, and Mendocino. We are the regional hub where it makes a lot of sense to make big investments on consolidated services of all kinds.
I thought you were going to lean into the other guys to see if they'd help to pay for the buildings.
Why not?
KIS News and Information.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, $4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor Steve Madrone.
That's Chair Madrone, excuse me.
Oh, okay. Steve the Chair. okay, now I'm going to have to go look at secondhand stores, find a chair, write
off
Steve on it, and then hand it to you next time you're in.
I'm going to say, that's right, next time I fully expect that treatment.
Man, you got the water. What more do you need?
Hey, it's bubbly water, folks.
That's right.
We're talking high end.
Yeah. We just didn't pay the import fees from France.
That's right. Well, it's good to be here.
So the budget, you're kind of feeling about going into next year?
Yeah, we're tightening our belts already. It's already on the street that don't be thinking about bringing any supplemental budget requests forward right now.
I know it's challenging. It's challenging for you five.
Yeah.
It's challenging for department heads also that if they scrimp and save now, then they're more apt next year, Chair Steve.
That's the old
looks and goes, okay, hey, you have an extra $1 million rollover, so we're going to knock it back $1 million instead of cutting you.
There is that old adage.
That lack of reward for job well done.
Yeah.
Does that enter into it, or do you have to look at any contingency rollovers that a department has and take that into consideration?
Well, you know, there's a lot at work there, but what I will say is that it's pretty rare for any department to overspend their budget or even spend their entire budget because we have, you know, 20 to 40% vacancy rates in staffing. So when you have that higher rate.
Do they get budget for full staff?
Yes.
Even though it's not there?
Yes.
Well, you might have your 14% without even thinking about it.
You know, so that's, I've been pointing that out when I'm trying to raise wages again. I mean, we did a great packet in January of last year, a year ago. In fact, it was the best wage increase package in the history of the county. But it immediately got eaten up by inflation, right? So there we were paying people $17 an hour to do incredibly difficult work, whether it's on road crews or mental health, child welfare, all these really difficult types of work. And McDonald's is paying $20 an hour to flip burgers, right? So what are we going to do about that? And whenever I try to speak to raising those wages to become more competitive, we have a great benefit package, but the wages are just not there right now. I always get hit with, well, we don't have the money. And I like to point out, though, well, actually we do. It's money that's unspent because of vacancy rates in all the departments. And so why not take that money that's unspent and increase wages? That may mean that we can't then hire more people.
Less people, but
the ones we have are feeling more valued and come to work going, wow, I'm valued. This is a good wage, a good job, and I'm going to put in a good day's work. Not to say that staff don't do their best, because I think they do, but we're all human at the end of the day. And if you're stressing about paying the rent or utilities or whatever.
Well, your efficiencies.
All those
are
things
impacted.
Matter.
Yeah.
I mean, those things cost us. Turnover, training. I mean, these things cost money. They're real.
So as. Okay. Now, I've heard the. Occupancy rate, jeez, listen to me.
You're having trouble this morning.
Yeah, I know. You,
wake up.
It's frightening being on the same wavelength with you. So if a department is off by 20% or unfunded, or probably understaffed by 20%, are you saying that they wouldn't have to take any cuts and just say, okay, we will self-volunteer to freeze at this level of hire employees? Take that budget and redisperse it?
Well, that is...
Do they have that flexibility as a department head to do that?
To some degree. I mean, in the past, there was these trust funds within the departments where money unspent in the budget would go into a trust fund.
We heard about some of those, too.
That was being spent without any authorization. Right. And so this is one of the good things that I think the auditor controller did do. You know, it's always a mixed bag. Nobody's all, you know, bad or whatever. She really instituted, you know, a policy of requiring the departments to come forward with a supplemental budget request to spend that money that had been put into the trust fund. Because it was originally allocated for certain purposes, and now it's being used for something different.
Oh, those are earmarked dollars?
Yes.
Not just here's...
Theoretically, but they went into trust funds, and it's complicated, and then there's a lot of different things. But, you know, basically in the last couple of years, we've instituted a policy where, all right, you can go ahead and roll that into that place, but you still need to come forward and make a request to spend that money. Because
it's now being spent
differently than what it was originally budgeted for. That makes sense, right?
Well, okay. Now we're getting into the weeds, but I'm willing to jump in if you are. So Department X gets, let's say, $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that $1 million is not $1 million for that department head to allocate within their department. It's $100,000 for this. It's $100,000 for that.
Whatever the budget laid out, yeah.
And they're held to those line
I don't know that
budget
held,
dollars?
I don't know that they're held exactly to that, but it is generally so. You know, I think there is some flexibility within the departments to be able to shift things around. But if there's money that goes unspent at the end of the year, that's a different matter, right?
And that's where it gets rolled back to you guys.
It can, or it
rather than staying
to the
within
trust fund, or...
Okay, so it can stay within the department, but it's an unassigned dollar.
It is until they come forward with a request that has to now be approved.
So, Mother, may I?
Well, you can take two steps forward there, Brian.
No, that's green light, red light.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We all love our mothers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go play hide and seek. We'll be back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. Steve Madrone is alongside this morning. My wits may be here back again.
Yeah, I'm drinking some bubbly here.
I know. I might need a little bit of a vitamin infusion here. Problem is, I'm not sure which one I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got the budget stuff that, you know, we'll be hearing an awful lot about. Mm-hmm. You also put together a little soiree in McKinleyville about the community.
Yep.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce hosted that.
What's your goal when you do one of those? Fortuna's got theirs in a couple weeks.
Yep.
You know, I mean, everybody's kind of this time of the year doing the state of the blank.
Sure.
What kind of sense do you have about going into one of those? What is your goal?
Well, my goal is to have a chance for the community to ask a lot of good questions and kind of get some updates on important things going on in the community. You know, there's Facebook and there's this and that. You get reports on board meetings and stuff, but how much do people really pay attention? And is that an opportunity for them to really engage with their leaders? I don't think so. I think this kind of event gives,
no, seeing you at the grocery store is where you get the chance to actually talk to somebody.
It is, and you absolutely get all kinds of requests right there at the counter, you know, and you go, oh, hey, by the way, well, I've got your attention, you know, and that's part of the job. I mean, I really enjoy that part, actually, because when you're out in the community, people can access you, right?
You're a regular, and they're regular, and you just talk.
Right, and there's questions on roads, and then there's also questions on roads, and then there's questions on roads. And so, you know, trying to come up with answers that aren't just BS, but actually have some content behind them and educational value in terms of, yeah, where are we at with roads in terms of road crews, in terms of funding for our roads. We had a presentation yesterday from Caltrans. There's going to be big changes in the gas tax because as we get more EV and this and that, will there be the money to maintain the roads? And, you know, I was pointing out to Caltrans that they just repaved the highway from, what, Arcata to Big Lagoon, and they had just done it 5 years ago, right? And we're not able in the county to repave a road once every 30 years, right? And so how do we make sure that these monies that are coming in from taxpayers, you know, go even more so to local roads? Because that's what's hurting. I mean, I would say the highways are pretty well maintained. But our county roads, they're a mess. And we're going to have to turn a corner on that and figure out how to fund that kind of work.
Well, I would think that there's very few folks at the state level that are willing to give up resources, whether it's financial or influence or decision making.
That's right.
Do they just start laughing when you suggested that?
Well, no. I mean, the Caltrans representative is very professional and, you know, is presenting a good topic. But this process is trying to get public input on it. And we know how the current system is working. And it's very clear that the highways have a lot of funding, maybe almost more than they need if they're going to be repaving every 5 years, whereas the local and county roads are a complete mess ever since Prop 13, frankly.
Does Caltrans
25 years or something?
Yeah.
Long
no,
time,
no, 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 no.
That Prop 13?
That was in 78.
So 40 years, yeah.
Yeah.
40 years of reduced income for schools, for roads, for libraries.
No, no, no. The lottery's covering that.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, you don't remember that?
Yeah.
And the guaranteed was a Prop 78. Wasn't that the guarantee for?
Yeah. And there's, you know, SB1 that happened that added to the gas tax. But again, local roads aren't getting what they need.
Well, and when I look at the gas tax, mm-hmm. if everybody's driving, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But you've got businesses. Yeah. I mean, we're experiencing that now.
The delivering
food,
stuff.
Food delivery folks yeah. And the farmers and the haulers
so
and people like that.
Value.
So they're getting hammered double time.
Right.
And it's a oftentimes, if they're in a situation, it's a pass-through. So it's just another way to raise the cost of living rather yeah. than accomplishing really what the goal is.
That's right.
And I don't know what the, you know, when you look at Caltrans, you don't often hear that they're suffering for dollars. So maybe they are. Maybe they are. But you don't
way.
Hear about that.
You don't hear it. You don't see it.
Do we get more here than what we pay for here with 101 and... If you want to start talking, let's look at 36.
We do have a bunch of audience.
Somebody's being forgotten. And I think that whole number is forgotten.
Yeah.
You look at 36, 299. Are we being forgotten or are we beneficiaries and we just don't realize that we're getting more than what we're paying?
You know, that's a good question, and I certainly don't know on the state level with that kind of stuff, but that's exactly what we're doing in McKinleyville. Right. So we have now set up a bunch of systems. See, I'm bringing you back here, Brian, to the state of McKinleyville. And what has never been done is an accurate accounting of the total revenues that come in from McKinleyville. When I say McKinleyville, we're using the community service district boundary as a logical boundary for that data. And it's never been collected. We don't know how much we spend on the sheriff, on roads, on whatever, because it's never been tracked by that area. It's just northern Humboldt County in one big lump sum.
Now, is retail and gas tax, are those retail
tax? Easy. Revenues are easy. That's the easy part to track. But the expenses were never tracked by district or by area. Now we've set up a new system where we can gather that data.
Get an idea.
So that then when we sit down with McKinleyville residents and talk about incorporation, we will have real data instead of people start to immediately fly off the handle and go, oh, that'll mean increased taxes.
Well, like, I think, I well, feel, know, instead
yeah,
of I know.
Instead yeah. of here's what's real. Yeah. And the frankly speaking, I mean, your taxes don't go up unless you vote to raise your taxes. Nobody comes in and raises your taxes. That's a voter type thing. And guess what? We've seen that if we raise taxes, let's say a sales tax for roads, and it's dedicated to roads, kind of like Measure Z was dedicated to
earmarked.
Public safety.
Yeah.
It's my observation that public will support that kind of a tax because they're going to get the direct benefit of that, right?
As I would say more apt to.
More apt to. I mean, money's tight for everybody, for sure.
So as you
Nobody
look at
wants
that...
more taxes, but people do absolutely want better roads, right? So how are we going to get there?
So as you look at McKinleyville,
mm-hmm.
there's not a ton of retail. Retail even opportunity.
More now than there was 20 years ago.
Well, when Kmart took a dive,
Kmart,
and Ray's disappeared. I mean, those were two
when grocery pretty, outlet came in. We got
pretty
two
heavy
auto,
hitters.
Auto parts stores next to each other.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's kind of a dichotomy, if you will, four bedroom communities.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there,
hard to support
but they're not
retail.
There during the daytime. Yeah,
That's right.
A couple of buddies of mine in Napa are running into the same thing.
Well,
where
so people talk about this a lot. For instance, with the town center that we're working with Ann Pearson and the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee to put together an ordinance to create this town center, something that's a little different than just Central Avenue, Main Street, USA. And we're talking about Vista Point Park. We've talked about this before, the airport business
right.
park, town center. Those things will pull money off the highway. And when people start coming in off the highway, they will support retail businesses.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm a little bit more simplistic.
Yeah.
You go, okay, there's a bunch of empty retail space
right.
now,
right.
and there's no demand for or willingness for retailers to risk.
Right.
I'm wondering, God, I don't want to say this, but okay. If there could be a support to attract business relocation into or risk.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll forgive this or we'll have this. First 5 years, this is what we'll do to set you up to get this niche filled or that niche filled or to have your hours extended into the evening so people that are showing up at 6 have a chance to spend in their hometown.
Sure.
I know that's a little weird, particularly as budgets
tie together. And, you know, my sense is that the Vista Point Park will get people to pull off the highway. Once they pull off into that Vista Point facility with the visitor center, they're going to say, let's spend the night. suddenly there's more motels in the airport business park.
But local residents don't stay in the hotels.
No, they don't, but outside money does. And when people are on vacation, they tend to go to the small mom-and-pop retail. They don't go to the chain stores as much.
Right.
They're on vacation. They love the boutique.
We just need more of the small retailers.
Well, and the town center process is going to add densifying apartments and other senior housing and everything else right downtown that's actually going to create the economic basis for supporting more retail.
KINS, News and Information Times, 845.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:49. We're back, final couple minutes with Steve Madrone, Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor. Budget process, McKinleyville considering different things.
Yep.
Is there anything coming out of the state that has got your attention either positively or negatively? I mean, we've gone whipsaw from having all this huge surplus to all of a sudden there's a huge hole. Everybody's sitting around scratching their head, wondering what mismanagement is going on at the state level.
Sure, sure. Well, there's a lot of work being done in wildfire resilience, you know, that affects our communities. I mean, the last 2 years, Willow Creek's been hit by three disasters, right? You got the Knob Fire, which was right next to the Monument Fire over in Burnt Ranch, and then you had the big snowdown event or the big snow event that brought trees down everywhere in the winter a little over a year ago. And then last summer we had the lightning complex. So, you know, when that happens, then suddenly there's fire camp. And that means, you know, we think it's a great economic boon to the community, but it's not. Because everything's brought in by concessionaires from out of the area. And the local restaurants and local businesses, yeah, the gas station's doing pretty darn good. But a lot of the other businesses are hurting when that happens.
It's not a panacea.
And then people can't even get to the beach at Kimtu, right, because of fire camp and everything else. So,
well, who wants the smoke anyway?
And when you look at all the vacant stores, I mean, the cannabis industry is taking a big drop.
You know, there's a bunch of national that is saying that what we are seeing here, we ain't seen it yet. This is the tip of the iceberg, and that the whole industry is going to crater big time. And I know that was a caution that was expressed by a lot of us that don't bank on this. I mean, it may be a little niche. We ain't going to be Napa, guys.
Well,
we aren't. And there was this big motion and movement and support thinking that, you know, the Humboldt brand was going to make magic, and it's not.
Well, we made a lot of missteps at the county, at the state as well. And, you know, I do think that federal legalization is going to have an effect. We'll see if it's, you know, split 50-50 on positive and negative or whatever. But some of the positives are, as I've said before, right now that industry can't write a dime off of their expenses. Nothing. Because of that.
The business side of
any
business.
Do you know any businesses, Brian, that operate without being able to write off their expenses? I mean, that'd kill you right out of the gate, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a hamstring. And so that's going to change. Direct sales also will allow small farmers to be able to market their
banking. Boutique.
Banking. There's so many things that will change with that. So
yeah.
Stay tuned. You know, we will see how.
That's my line, dude.
Stay tuned. You got me trained. You know?
Yeah, woof.
In fact, I'm looking for a job.
Oh, no, you don't want to work.
I saw the sign on the door when I came in out there. Workers wanted. We pay $16 an hour.
Get out of here. See everybody tomorrow.